Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Thank you. What they on? All steroids and no carbs. They're some thick ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
You guys shut up.
Hello.
What's up?
Hey, shut up.
Well, there's a lot up, actually.
Hey, will you shut up?
I wouldn't even know where to start.
Shut up.
Good thing I'm not in charge of that.
Yeah, well, neither am I. So now what do we do?
Mike? Look, he's not even listening.
Let's take calls.
Hello.
Hey, Mike, thanks for paying attention.
You're welcome.
No,
I'm getting set up in here, man. Don't judge me.
Mike Lynch, everybody.
Hey!
The guy's unbelievable. Let's take calls on how your fantasy team fared all day. 4 hours of it.
Now, I will tell you that me and Mike were back in the bullpen doing our own award-winning show prep, and Mike did hand me his phone to talk about his very surprising week one fantasy update.
I did.
And it was quite impressive, really. I mean, Kyler Murray, Tyreek Hill, it was nice.
Why is it surprising?
I took a couple of flyers on guys who did well, and I'm hopeful that that will continue.
Yeah, Mike,
all right, call 503-250-1080. Let's hear it.
Let's get into it. Let's get into the
deets. I want to hear your team name and how you did.
Fantasy lineups.
And I'm guessing none of you will say that you did poorly. You'll just be like, well, just, you know, bad luck.
No.
Bad weekend.
Someone out there is going to be like, my team is red hot garbage. There'll be someone that's on the negative side of things.
Well, there will be someone. There's a lot of people on the negative side of things. I'm just saying they won't admit it.
Hope springs eternal.
It's week one, bro. They ain't admitting that.
Well, someone had Aaron Rodgers and it didn't go so well. Right?
Yeah, well, but how can you? Look, you draft Aaron Rodgers. How can you blame him when he throws for 133 yards? Like, that's not the drafter's fault.
No. Whoever drafted Jameis Winston, now
that's a good pick.
Now you got something.
Because you probably got him later.
Yes.
You know.
And it turned, what did he throw, five touchdowns or whatever it was?
Five tutties.
Yeah, five tutties.
And no picks.
How about that?
Can you believe that?
So after week one, we can determine the Packers suck and the Saints, greatest team ever, and Drew Brees was holding them back, correct?
Duh.
Yes.
I mean, it's week one, right? I mean, come on.
Did you hear what Drew Brees said on Sunday Night Football?
No, I was too busy looking at his weird hair.
He was good on there.
Was he?
Yeah, I thought he did a good job. I didn't catch all of it, but he said they were going through the Saints highlight, and he was like, well, that looks, Jameis Winston looks to be just what the Saints needed.
Well played. I didn't see
any. Little shot at himself there.
I did not see any of Sunday Night Football.
So. Oh, you didn't?
I did not.
Whatever. Yeah, it was, you didn't miss much.
The Rams, Matt Stafford looked great.
Yeah. He was slinging it all over the place.
Yeah. A couple of those deep balls are ones that, that Mr. Golf or Goff, I'm not sure which one,
Jared Goff.
He doesn't make those.
That was
throws.
The best. That was the best pronunciation of that name. The second one you said,
wow,
you've ever done.
Well, how about that?
You got it right.
Look at that.
The second he left the team in the NFC West, and you're never going to talk about him again because who cares about the Lions?
Now
can pronounce it.
Did he play against the Niners? Was he out there? Did he sling it around?
Yeah.
Yeah. He
led the comeback.
They almost had the comeback.
Did they really?
Well, I mean,
I saw the final score. I didn't see any of the game, but
yeah. Well, they were down huge, and then they came roaring back in the second half and actually looked pretty good, which is, you know, That's what Dan Campbell said. They were going to get knocked down. They're going to bite a kneecap, get back up. Well, they bit both kneecaps, and then they made a comeback and couldn't finish it.
Now, see, this is why the NFL, like the odds makers in the NFL, it's so maddening. I think that, and I only bet one little thing yesterday because mm-hmm. I didn't like week one. I want to wait and watch and see what happens, right?
Get it.
But a lot of people bet the Niners. I think they were one of the highest bet teams.
Yes.
During week one.
And Survivor Pool, you know, as well.
Yeah. Well, that they won. So
yeah, I believe they finished as like a 9.5 point favorite.
Well, yeah. So they opened at 7.5. Mm-hmm. And
we were telling you, you jump all over that.
Well, then the Niners, so they were favored by 7.5. Mm-hmm. It closed at 9.5 and they won by eight, but they were up by 800.
With like 2 minutes to go.
Freaking backdoor covers.
This is why you want to get lines early, right? Yeah. You want to get them before they start getting moved and steamed, you know, as they say. So if you got the Niners at 7.5, you didn't have to, well, you may have sweated. I didn't see it, but they ended up winning by eight, so you were fine. But if you got the Niners on Sunday at 9.5, you're pissed off because you were right.
Well, that's the thing. I wouldn't have touched it at 9.5, but at 7.5 on whatever that was Thursday we were talking about, you gobbled that up because the Lions aren't very good. But
so the question is now, see, we have to forget everything that happened last weekend, this past weekend. And we right now have to start looking at the lines for next
week. Oh, I've already looked.
Did you see that this Oregon Lottery scoreboard has every line for every game every week already on there?
No, I didn't see that.
I don't know if it's always up there, but it was Sunday before the games when I was scrolling through. I saw every line for every game all the way to week, whatever it is now, 18.
All before, let me just please.
And they may have taken that down.
NFL bettors, NFL fans, I say it every year, please make zero assumptions until after week four.
Well, I'm on Cardinals undefeated watch.
Just zero, and I mean zero assumptions.
Buffalo -3 over Miami? Guys, hello?
Yes, I'm with you on that. Buffalo, I was looking at that this morning.
Yeah.
Buffalo, right there.
Yeah, because again, your overreaction because Buffalo looked terrible.
That line is too low.
C plus 5.5 against the Seahawks.
That Buffalo line's too low, and I bet you it's 3.5 before too long.
That Tennessee one too, because Tennessee looked dreadful.
So what's that line now?
Plus 5.5 against the Seahawks. I could see that being a really close game to a Titans.
Again, we have sweeping overreactions, especially after week one. I mean, we do it in college.
Well, look at college.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Look at what happened in college.
Well, I mean, again,
did you see college football over the weekend?
I did see college football. There just hasn't been that I can remember the sort of jump from week one to week two than what we saw in Columbus. And I know now, you know,
we're getting right into it.
Yeah, you know, well, you're getting so much now into this where people are going to start saying that Stroud is overrated and Ohio State and Ryan Day and, you know, we're going to crap all over Ohio State. Horse crap. Dude, Oregon looked beyond average against a Fresno State team that they're immensely more talented than they are. And they walked into Ohio State shorthanded, by the way, and they punched Ohio State in the mouth. They were better at the point of attack. They were better on the edge. They were better coached. They were more physical. They were more poised. They had a senior-laden quarterback versus a freshman who had appeared that the moment was too big for him. I thought he was very average despite some big numbers at the end of it. And Oregon dominated that game. You know, I know it came down to the one touchdown. But
Wait.
Yeah.
Where is it being said that Oregon is not getting credit for that win?
Oh, no. I'm saying that there are a lot of the national people now, and certainly back in Columbus, that are now trying to rain on Ohio State and saying that Ohio State's going to lose two or three games this year, and that Ryan Day has never really been tested, and that they had the true freshman.
Do you know the odds? I'll shut that up in a gif.
Yeah.
You ready for the odds?
Yeah.
Who do you think, which team is more likely to be in the college football playoff when the season wraps up?
Are they still saying Ohio State?
Odds. What are the odds? Oregon versus Ohio State. What do you think?
Well, obviously by what you're saying, I'm guessing Ohio State's still the better bet.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. I'll give you Oregon.
Yeah.
Oregon went from plus 5,000 to make the college football playoff to plus 2,500, meaning if you bet $100 on the Ducks to make the college football playoff, you would now win $2,500.
Okay.
Okay, so what is Ohio State now after that loss?
I'll still say you bet $100. I say maybe you get $1,500.
Plus $800.
Jeez. They still think that highly of Ohio State.
Far and away, they expect Ohio State more likely in the college football playoff than Oregon still.
Huh. That's interesting because from, you know, look, what we saw, and it's one game, so again, I'm not going to overreact, but
I am.
Ohio State, for they've played 8 quarters, and in 6 of those, Ohio State has not looked like Ohio State. And I thought Oregon beat them to the punch in all 3 phases. And that just, that's...
That was pretty obvious. I mean,
that's just impressive.
That's the beauty of the win. The beauty of the win was there is no doubt who the better team was.
No.
That's the pretty part of it. That's like the, I'm sure Duck fans today are sticking their chest out a little extra.
And you
because
should.
Because of that. It wasn't fluky. It wasn't turnovers. It wasn't.
No.
Dude, they punched him in the mouth. It was great.
Yeah, and I thought Ohio State didn't show a lot of composure. I also think for all the talk, and again, I think it's been fair talk, that Oregon, from an X's and O's standpoint and from schematics, I think that has been their weak point. We know they can recruit. We know they can get talent. And I think there's times where Oregon has dropped the ball on that. I thought from an offensive and a defensive play calling, I thought Oregon was superior. They out-coached,
dude,
and they out-schemed Ohio State. And Ohio State...
Who's the Gordon's fisherman guy? Moorhead?
Moorhead.
That was... I don't know that he'll ever have a better game.
And I can't believe that Ohio State...
He was so good.
...didn't make any adjustments. It was kind of baffling. I honestly, I think if you went into Oregon's locker room or in the coach's room afterwards and gave him truth serum, I'm pretty sure that Joe Moorhead was going to be like, oh my God. A lot of what they did was the concepts, especially with some of the RPO stuff and the short boundary that Minnesota did to so much success. And Ohio State never adjusted to it.
Yeah.
And Ohio State kept running man, and Oregon kept like gashing them on the run. And it was fascinating to me that Ohio State never tried to answer. They never dialed up something different. And so everything...
Should have called Urban Meyer.
Well, something. Well, he was having his own problems down
there. They're cocky.
But yeah,
Ohio State's cocky.
I honestly think that Ohio State, and they did this a little bit against Minnesota, I think Ohio State lined up and said, we can play man on the outside and you can't beat us.
That's right.
And we're going to commit to stopping the run. And I thought Oregon did a beautiful job in their run scheme in exposing man coverage with some shifts in some of the formations and the RPOs that they ran. And some of those plays were beyond beyond simple. And Ohio State just never adjusted. And Oregon was great in execution, man on man. They got unbelievable down blocking with their tight ends and with their wide receivers. And Cristobal even said after the game when they watched Minnesota, he said, I think we got some angles on these guys, especially going to the short side. And on those 3 touchdown runs to the short side of the boundary side, that was all that was just a simple crackback exposing Ohio State for playing man. And then when Ohio State finally did try to make an adjustment, then Oregon went with the RPO and dumped the ball off and ended up being able to seal the game that way. It was a masterclass.
Basically, Oregon's great.
That was,
and it is now the University of Oregon.
The University of Oregon. You should walk a little higher. And I don't know how the rest of the season goes, if Oregon doesn't stub their toe or whatever, but it's not the best win in program history because you've won Rose Bowls, you've played for national titles, but that is a program, I don't know if defining is the right word, maybe validating Cristobal and the staff and what they're trying to accomplish. And I don't care what happens to Ohio State. I don't care what happens to Oregon down the road those next 10-12 weeks, to go into Ohio State, to go into the Shoe and physically beat them at the point of attack on both sides of the ball, I don't care who you are, that doesn't happen. And Oregon did it, and you should feel damn proud about it.
You just jumped right into it.
Yeah.
Show's over.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for coming.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah!
We have other college football breaking news, if you haven't heard.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is bad news for Oregon and all the other schools in the Pac-12.
USC has fired Clay Helton.
Yes. If you're an Oregon fan and everyone else, I think you wanted Clay Helton to be there for a lifetime contract.
Well, they don't play this year, but...
Yeah. Well, could be in the title game.
I don't know. I think if USC's... I disagree. I think you... Yes, it's nice to see USC not as good as you, but at the same time, if USC's good and back, that helps you. It buoys you.
Yeah.
And you can basically, Oregon's never going to lose again. Right. So they went to Columbus and, like you just said, punched Ohio State in the mouth. So bring on USC with a better coach. Who cares? They'll dominate him. We have exclusive Clay Helton audio of when he heard the news. Are you ready?
Yes.
Nicest guy in sports, Clay
Helton. He is the nicest guy in sports.
And you once farted on him.
No.
Yes, you did.
He walked through my jet wash.
You crop dusted Clay Helton.
That's true.
And we, to this day, don't know if he knew it.
That was his bet. I think he did. He had to have. Yeah.
But keeping with his nice guy persona, he would not say a word.
He didn't say anything. And believe me, when the two of us were sitting, he knew what was up. But I remember that was his best year. That was the Rose Bowl year with Sam Darnold. So, you know, coincidence? I don't know. I'm just saying that happened in preseason, and look what happened with USC.
All right, guys. Well, that was only our first segment.
And it was very sportsy, but look.
I blame you. I was not ready to go there. You know what I had planned for the first segment? And we don't really plan anything, but I did think it was a good time because we are going to be very football-y today.
Yeah.
I thought that would be a great time to talk about the falling cat video.
That was amazing.
Incredible.
Yes.
Truly incredible. But
best catch of the weekend.
Now we're
It was week one of the NFL, and it was fantastic. Yeah, that going down in the Pac-12. Look, I don't know how you don't get a little sportsy there. I can talk about, I went to a John Legend concert.
Yeah, who cares? He was out in Bend, right?
Yeah. It's like, what are you, exactly?
I like him. He's good. I don't mean to poo-poo John Legend, but look, whatever.
He puts on a good show.
Yeah, whatever.
I knew one song.
That Tame Impala show was last night. Did you go to that show?
I did not.
No, that's a good band.
Again, I was at John Legend.
Oh, yeah. That was yesterday?
That was yesterday.
What is today?
Monday.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. It's Monday?
There's a lot going on.
All right, well, let's come back. And you said that you do not believe the Ohio State win is the biggest for the Ducks.
No.
But that is the subject of our poll question.
All right.
So you will get to vote.
I will vote hard, even though I kind of already
Well, that's what we ask you. Well, no, but you have to pick one.
I will.
You have to pick one. Ohio State game's on there.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other games, too. Because you said they have played for national championships, but they didn't win any. So therefore, those aren't big wins.
Okay.
So what is the most significant win for Oregon football? Let's come back. And we will talk about it here on what I am told is a Monday.
Yeah.
It is 3:16 on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's our poll question today. As always, it is at 1080thefan.com. That's our website, guys, 1080thefan.com. It's brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, a family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. Today, we are asking you, what is the most significant win in Oregon football history? You have the 1994 pick over Washington.
Yeah, which
you may remember that.
Well, it reversed years and years of the little brother, big brother thing.
Kenny Wheaton.
Yep.
2002 Fiesta Bowl win over Colorado. Mm-hmm. That was the Joey Harrington team.
Did not get a chance to play for the national championship, but that was Miami, I think. So,
but they made a statement in that Colorado game.
They did.
A 39-7 win in 2007 at Michigan. You may remember that game. That was right after the Appalachian State win at Michigan. Michigan was down that year, but that game signified sort of Oregon taking another step in their program.
Yeah, it would have helped had Michigan been able to do something, but that year Michigan ended up being dog mess. But
well, I thought they were 8-4, weren't they?
I don't think so. I think Michigan had a pretty, 8-4.
You might want to go look that up.
8-4 for Michigan is pretty bad.
Yeah, that's it was definitely a down year. I mean, they just lost to App State.
To App State. But what year was that? Let me look.
2007. Two other games on here. 2021 at Ohio State. Did you know that Oregon won that game?
Yes.
Yeah, so we put that on there. And then the college football playoff win over Florida State. That was down at the Rose Bowl where
That would be my vote.
What Jameis do? Turned it over like six times or something?
Yeah, something five ridiculous times like that. But I would probably go there. And by the way, that was the defending national champion, Florida State Seminoles. They were undefeated that year. You went into the Rose Bowl and you dropped an old-fashioned ass-whooping on them. That led you to the national title game. As big as the Ohio State win is right now, and this is a little – I'm kind of being nitpicky here, but we got to kind of see how this goes, right? If Oregon, stubs their toe once or twice and ends up just being a decent team, then this win still is enormous. Or if Ohio State does the same thing, if Ohio State falters, we kind of have to see how this plays out. So I think there's some recency bias here with Ohio State. At the time being, I can't argue that is as significant a win as Oregon has ever had. I just think the fact that the defending national champs in the Rose Bowl to get to a national title and the way you did it, I'm still going to lean towards that Florida State game being the biggest win. And then the other ones, whether you want to do the Joey or any of those other ones, those were the kind of the building block foundations. But I mean, no one's wrong with any of these, but I'm still going Florida State right now.
Yeah. That Michigan team that year, after losing to Appalachian State, 34-32, Oregon went in there and beat him 39-7. And we were here, and I remember, even though Michigan was 0-2, that was enormous.
Yeah.
Michigan ended up rattling off 8 straight after that, including 38-0 over Notre Dame, and they beat number 10 Penn State.
Okay, and then they lost.
So they were 8-2.
Yeah.
After the App State and Oregon losses, but then lost to Wisconsin and Ohio State.
Okay, so better than I remember. I thought that season kind of spiraled out of control because of the App loss, but...
Well, to them, it kind of did.
It did, but eight, you're right.
They weren't awful.
They weren't awful.
So anyway, you could make a case for the Ohio State win being the biggest in history because, to me, that wasn't just a big win. It was a statement.
Yeah.
I think that they played so well. Mm-hmm. Cristobal said after the game they were without 5 defensive starters.
Yeah, well,
who were the other starters?
By the end of the game, right, you were without Thibodeau. You were already without Mathis at the start. Without Flo.
So those three. He said 5 at the end, and I was going, who's the...
Well, Brown ended up, going out at some point in the second half, and he got hurt. So maybe was it towards the end they were without 5? I mean, shoot, they had a guy playing both ways on tight end and defensive end
because
they were short.
So it was nearly, to me, it was flawless. Like, it was a jaw-droppingly good win.
Yes.
And it wasn't a fluke. And that is what Duck fans have been waiting for. Yeah. To me, that game may end up being the most significant because it sort of looks like a statement that signifies that this program has taken yet another step, right?
And because maybe the biggest step.
Exactly. The step that everybody's been waiting for. That's why I think this was so enormous. We thought it was coming because of how they've been recruiting, but it came faster than many of us thought.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be 2 years from now.
And man, that
and
was...
It happened.
And dude, they were down all these guys, and the quarterback, you know, it's not... Brown played great,
yep.
But it's not like this is a special year with a special quarterback, right? I mean, the play, though, was clean. It was smart. They minimized their mistakes. Ultimately, they overmatched Ohio State, and I just... That's the most satisfying thing, I'm guessing, if you're a Duck fan, is not only did they win that game, but it's how they did it. They're the better team. It turns out Cristobal can coach. They're suddenly in the top five, and they only have one ranked team left in their schedule.
Yeah, all of a sudden it opens up what this season can become. Like, I didn't buy at the beginning the special season. I thought you were in the play, obviously, for the Pac-12 title. I thought you probably should win the Pac-12 title, but I said all along I thought this was going to be a two-loss conference champ, and you kind of assumed that Ohio State was probably going to be one of those losses for Oregon, but you've opened that up now to where even if you stub your toes somewhere along the way, right? Let's say the UCLA game, which right now appears to be the most daunting, and that's at the Rose Bowl, if I'm not mistaken, right? The UCLA game's on
the road.
Yeah,
they're down there.
They're down there. So let's just assume, right, that just for argument's sake, that you go down there and you know, it's close game, UCLA nicks you by a field goal there, right? Everything you want is still in front of you. If that is your only loss and you go in and you get a rematch in the Pac-12 title game and you defeat UCLA and your only loss is UCLA and you've got to win over Ohio State, this gives you some leeway here. It gives you some foul up room and still be on the track that you want to be to get to a college football playoff. So it's so early and so many things can happen. You can't have any more injuries. Like, I mean, look, it was an amazing story with a guy playing both ways and by the way, playing big moments both ways at tight end and DN. That's not sustainable. So, you know, a couple more injuries and, you know, this thing can start coming apart at the seams. There's no team, even Alabama, that can withstand a rash of injuries like that. But you have put yourself in an unbelievably like prime catbird position here with kind of a mulligan still to go on your season. So this all of a sudden shapes up to be what I thought was good, but still a building year for Oregon. And maybe you speed up the clock a little bit and you got a chance to do something special.
All right. Text your thoughts. How significant is this win? Biggest ever? 503-250-1080. We will read some of your texts and then Clay Helton's been fired. Not to steal the show. I mean, you know, that takes a backseat to Oregon's W here.
Yeah. And I kind of have a crazy idea, by the way, of what USC should do.
Really?
Yeah. It's
you going after the Kansas coach already?
Well, clearly. I mean,
did you see that on Friday?
Did you see what happened?
God.
Coastal Carolina.
Well, good thing we didn't bet on it. No. But here we wanted to.
Yeah. 26.5.
We wanted to take Kansas plus the 26.5, yeah. And I'll be damned if they didn't lose by 27.
So let's just say
with a missed extra point and a failed 2-point conversion to try to make it.
And
up.
That was at the beginning of the game when they were chasing points. Vegas, man, they know what they're doing. But let's talk about that near cover on the part of Kansas. Clearly,
that's the story of the day.
It's sky high. But I have a name, and I think some USC people may just want to vomit.
Nick Saban.
No.
Why not?
Steve Sarkisian.
No.
Whoa. Okay. Well, I'm intrigued now.
And I honestly, it was the very first name.
Urban Meyer.
It was the very first name that came to, I don't think any of those, by the way, are feasible. I think you could
do
this.
You can't see Herbsy leaving the NFL after a year.
It didn't look so good, but he's got so much guaranteed.
After a game?
He's got so much guaranteed money. He ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. They gave him everything.
There is a guy out there that you could get. And I think it would work out really, really well. And I think a lot of people would think I'm badass crazy for suggesting it, but if I'm the boner,
I know who it is.
Down there, I would consider a long look at this.
Mike Bone, USC AD.
Yeah. Oh,
Jeff Fisher. Is that who you're talking about? He's a USC grad.
That is not who I'm talking about. He does have USC ties, though.
All right, well let's
Mike Leach.
Leach, isn't he still in Mississippi State?
Yeah,
well of course.
How's he doing?
He doesn't have USC ties.
I'm tired of him already.
I think he looks
and he's out of the league.
Pretty inconsistent.
All right, we've got a lot to talk about, okay? So stay right there. Your text next. Here's Mike.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, now to your text. We're talking about Oregon beating Ohio State. Did you see that? They beat them.
Yes.
35-28.
Handily.
And we're asking you if it's the most significant win in Oregon football history. Now, here is somebody who is expecting us to provide levity to the insufferable Duck fans of this Monday.
You know what?
Hold on.
Yeah.
He says, this is what it's like to listen to radio in Oklahoma. Lots of verbal stroking of the Ducks. Neither can, and oh, he means Boomer Sooner, like if, yeah, you know, down there. Yeah. He said, neither can get over the SEC size strength for the national championship when it counts at the end of the season.
Oh, my God.
And by the way, okay, two things.
One, on the parade.
Yeah, God, I swear to God, there are so many people. And look, I am not a Duck fan, okay?
Yeah, neither of us are.
But there are so many people really jealous of Oregon's success. And no, they do not have a championship yet.
No.
And you can rub that in their face all day long, but are you a, you know, unless you're a freaking
Alabama fan or yeah, Miami or Clemson,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, be careful. I mean, they try to minimize Oregon at every turn, and yeah, it's just kind of pathetic. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is, can you not give them a day? I mean, that was a great freaking win. It's like, Jesus. Okay, let's bash them when they drop one that they're not supposed to, because they probably will.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Then you can say, well, hey, you know, this isn't what Alabama and Ohio State, whatever. You insert your jabs then.
Sure.
But for God's sakes, yeah, the 2 days after the game when everybody's riding high, shut up.
Like
Buster, crawl in your hole for a couple weeks.
Buster Douglas knocks out Mike Tyson and some being like, you would have never beat Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right.
Can I not
maybe
celebrate?
Maybe you do lose to Alabama. Guess what? Everyone does, but you don't know that. We all thought you'd lose to Ohio State. So why don't we let them get to play Alabama, and then if they get their ass kicked, they can judge. You went into a play. I don't think Ryan Day, had he lost a regular season game in Ohio State?
No.
You know, he hadn't lost in the regular season, and you went into Ohio State shorthanded.
Yeah, but,
and you won in all three faces.
Yeah, but oh, and the other thing too is, this is not what it's like to listen to radio in Oklahoma. Oklahoma has championships, man.
Yes,
yes, they've had some failures here in the big time games in the last handful of years, but Jesus.
So basically,
Oregon's not even on that level.
So basically, no one except Alabama or Clemson can take any sort of pride in any regular season game. I won't listen to it.
A couple of other people bringing up a couple of other games that we left off the poll. One was the Oklahoma win at home. Now,
see,
that was great.
I dismissed that a little bit because it was the worst call in the history. And
well, it was a great game.
Yes.
But I don't know how you feel about this, but I don't feel like anything sort of program defining happened there. It was memorable.
Yes.
No question.
But Oklahoma got jobbed. I mean, you.
Yeah, there's that.
You won on a count out as opposed to knocking someone out.
But don't you think, okay, so the CU Fiesta Bowl win was significant because, well, by that time, it was the biggest win in Oregon history.
Yeah.
And they showed that they belonged, and because there was the whole controversy of who should play for the title, and they showed that they belonged. They hammered CU. That was a statement.
Yep.
And it showed that all that they had been building towards was legitimate, right? And so that was one level. I thought that Michigan game was really significant because I think that's when it was like, oh, crap, there's another level here. And that's where I think this Ohio State game could factor in. Like, maybe they've taken another jump. Maybe they haven't. But it kind of felt like that was a Michigan game all over again for the next level because of how it played out and just, you know, getting in the trenches. And that's what Duck fans have been waiting for.
Yep, I buy
is dominating a team like Ohio State in the trenches. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, with the on the offensive side.
Well, I think you did on the – well, I mean, you didn't get much of a pass rush, but you shut down.
Played great.
You played great. And I thought you did a great job of limiting the Ohio State run game. You didn't get a lot of big plays. You had a couple big stops, including the fourth and two, which was just a great play by not only Sewell scraping over the top, but a great job by the interior defensive line for not getting blown back. In fact, I thought that defensive line did a great job of – maybe not, again, developing a big pass rush, but I thought they did a great job of holding their own and reestablishing the line of scrimmage going backwards. That just doesn't happen with Ohio State very often. And for an offensive line that I thought coming in this year was going to be a weakness for them, I thought that the best was the younger guys that were still to come. That I will give every one of those offensive linemen, from Moore to Forsythe to Wag, those guys – they played a hell of a game, and they put a hat on a hat, and they moved guys.
I mean, it wasn't
just scheme, although I thought they did some nice wrinkles. I still reject the fact that this was some sort of newfangled offense, but they did throw some new wrinkles in there. But the biggest difference between week one and week two is Oregon just laid a hat on a hat and made blocks, and it wasn't like just kind of sort of like getting in people's way. They moved people off the ball and great blocking from the non-offensive line with the tight ends and the wide receivers. It was a masterclass.
Well, I think that's what's significant here is they've been building towards this.
Yes.
Right, with all these recruiting classes and what Cristobal's been doing. He said it after the game. He said, you know, this is just one win, but it's been a long process to get here.
Yep.
And I think for a while now, Oregon fans have been waiting for that type of win, that type of performance, and they finally got it, that's why I think it seems more significant than Oklahoma win.
Yeah, just beating a top team versus I get where you're going.
As you say, let's see what happens moving forward because obviously no guarantees. But then the other one that somebody brought up said the biggest regular season win in Oregon history, in my view, is the 2009 Halloween night win over USC, and that's the game where the Ducks took the mantle from
USC.
USC, and that's right. And Pete Carroll left right after that, right?
That was the USC had just been the bully for so long, and you announced that there was a new one, and since then, I know UW has jumped up, and we've had some Stanford, moments there, but after that, the preeminent program in the Pac-12 has been Oregon. So yeah, I can see where someone's coming from that. I just think you're going to be hard pressed to find someone that believes beating USC is going to be bigger than on the road, beating Ohio State.
All right, I'm going to get to a few more texts here in our next segment because I haven't gotten to a lot yet, but a lot of them are coming in. Biggest win in Oregon history? 503-250-1080. It is 345 on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
couple more texts here. Somebody says this is the biggest regular season win in modern history. A lot of people think that, but they would vote like you with the Florida State win.
Yeah.
Kind of being the program's biggest, because that was one where, you know, it was on the biggest stage against some of the best competition. Florida State had just won the national championship the year before, and they bitch slapped them.
Yeah.
When the, you know, the conventional wisdom was, you know, teams like Oregon don't win these types of games. That was one that signified, oh, yeah, we do. And yeah, they won, I mean, what was that, like 50-something to
they rolled
20-something?
And that was a little bit, too, kind of like with the Ohio State thing. The idea was that the Florida State athletes would be that much better than Oregon's.
Right.
And the idea in this one, and this is where I get the parallels, is that Ohio State was just going to be so much more physical, and they just weren't. And then the other thing, and I know Ohio State, you know, put up a lot of yards, and their receivers were good. And you knew they were going to put up some points, but I didn't think that Oregon's DBs were completely outmatched. And that is as good a receiving core as there is in the country. That's where I won't listen to people now trying to crap all over Ohio State's receivers. Those are damn good receivers, and they kept them in front. Yeah, they moved the ball. They had 600 yards of offense, but whoop-de-doo, you held them to 28 points. And we knew that you were going to have to score in the 30s, and you did, and you kept Ohio State to 28, including a couple big stops there at the end, when it felt like maybe the momentum had shifted back a little bit to Ohio State, and you're like, oh boy, you know, here they come. And they didn't. They turned them away. So it wasn't just being physical at the point. I thought, you know, McKinley and Bennett, I thought those guys played a really good game against a very, very good, if not the most talented group in the country. And just because they gave up a lot of yards and 28 points, I thought it was still a hell of an effort.
This is another text. From a holistic approach, I like that holistic approach
there you go.
To the Oregon win here. He says, I would say the biggest win Oregon has had was Washington in 94. That was the springboard game, and it was springboarding Oregon to where they are now, to where they could compete and beat an Ohio State. If Kenny doesn't get the pick and Oregon doesn't get the win and go to the Rose Bowl, where would we be?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I don't know.
But, you know, there's some
probably the same place, but
yeah,
I don't
that's
know.
The thing. If you lose that game to like one game, I think we put so much emphasis on. Look, the Oregon program has been on like a 25-year or even 30-year just climb. And, you know, it's hard to get to the top. It's hard to be Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State. And who knows if Oregon will ever be there. I mean, you're talking about some real rarefied air, and it's one win. But Oregon has just had a build, you know, starting from Rich Brooks to Mike Bilotti to Chip Kelly, you know, the Helfrich thing aside, but Helfrich even, they played for a national title, and then you had the, you know, Taggart and the dip, and now Cristobal. So yeah, there've been some dips here, but it really is quite an impressive, like I said, 30-year just build, and success keeps building on top of others. And I'm guessing that in the next 3 or 4 years, we'll have a conversation about the next big win being the most significant in the program, because it just feels like there is a real upward trajectory here with this team. And I don't think this is the last one of these games that we're going to be talking about with Cristobal.
This text says this Ohio State win is the most significant win for Oregon before typo. The Ohio State win is the most significant win for Oregon before, for the first time, the integrity and even the future of the Pac-12 is riding on Oregon's success alone. This validates the conference for the first time in nearly a decade. Brad in Northern Virginia.
Yeah, because UCLA...
with some typing issues, but...
UCLA's got some cachet right now.
I get the point.
But again, we'll have to wait and see how this goes. But UCLA with a big win over LSU. This win... But the rest of the conference is it's pretty bad. UW is,
dude, it can change fast.
It can, but UW is bad right now. SC just got done crapping the bed. Utah, who we thought could be a contender, just took an ass whooping.
Hold on, that doesn't mean they can't be a contender just because they lost.
I'm just saying that right now the Pac-12 is in a little bit of a where are we at? And the fact that Oregon just planted a flag in Columbus.
Actually, a little rubber ducky.
Yeah, that was, by the way, adorable. The fact that they did that, it is a Clemson-like thing where it lifts up the rest of the conference, regardless of what else happens. We've seen this with the ACC. The ACC can be warmed over garbage, but when Clemson is there...
And it is.
Yeah, it makes everything else better. And right now, again, with respect to some other teams, UW and, you know, the rest of them that have been bad, and there's been some others that are still hanging around, ASU and UCLA, there could be a good year there. Oregon just, this was a defining moment for the conference this year. And I don't think that can be underscored enough of what they just did for the Pac-12.
They definitely needed it.
The conference and Oregon. Yes.
Well, the league is what I'm saying.
Yes.
They definitely needed it.
Yes.
But I also think they need USC to get right. And if Oregon stays where it's at, mm-hmm. and USC hires a new coach and actually gets it right, that's when you'll start to see people respecting the Pac-12 again.
Sure.
Right there. It can't just be Oregon, no. like Clemson.
Yeah.
Because Clemson's won titles. I hate to say this, but...
Valid point.
That's different than what Oregon's done so far.
Yes.
So they've got to have, again, just... For conference relevancy, and this is why Texas and Oklahoma left the Big 12, because the Big 12, when Baylor and TCU are on top, is lame. Mm-hmm. When Texas and Oklahoma are on top, it feels completely different. And that's the same with the Pac-12. We can't have Utah winning the Pac-12 every year, even though Utah may be a great program and well-deserving. It's got to be the Oregons, the USCs, and the Washingtons. And if Washington is smart, they'll fire Jimmy Lake soon. And try to get that right, because that is going south. USC finally figured it out after 4 years of wishy-washy crap on Clay Helton. They fired him today. So watch out, because if USC gets it right, now you're taught. That's the only thing that's going to help the Pac-12 in the national landscape and in the eyes of people around college football, because you got to go, your big boys not have to dominate the league, and then they have to go win big games against other big programs and blue blood programs from around the country.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you got to do. Yeah. Well, you just want, that's why this is a big one for Oregon. But again, second game of the season, there's a long way to go, and this has got to be sustained, and you got to have help from the USCs and the Washingtons of the world.
And you're not getting any help from Utah, because again, ass kicking in the holy war. I mean, Utah, jeez. Well, you win 9 in a row. Well, you can't win 10? Pathetic.
Hey, give BYU credit.
Damn right.
You always take a crap on your own school. They're good.
Yeah, what do you mean?
You're always crapping on BYU.
How am I crapping on them?
Well, you kind of like to pat them on the head a little bit.
Well, they do.
They're awesome. Give them credit.
2-0 against the Pac-12.
Well, I don't know if they're awesome, but...
Dude, that was a great win.
Beat Arizona. Beat Utah. Suck it.
New member of the Big 12.
Yeah.
Look... We had lost.
They deserve it too.
We had lost 9 in a row in that series. It was nice to get one.
Okay, I want to hear what you have to say about USC's next coach.
Yes,
you say you've got a guy.
You got
an inside track on a guy.
I've got two. There's one guy.
Two guys.
There's one guy you throw the kitchen sink at, and if you can't get him, I think you get a little crazy. And
Bill Belichick. Okay.
And it may be a little. It may be a little out there. But if I were USC, I would 100% consider it. If I can't get the guy I want.
If they can't get their top choice, can they go back and get Clay Helton again?
You think they're going to go after Oge? The juice is ready. Hey, he's been doing his little Twitter videos.
Hey, Twitter world.
That's right. That was a pretty good juice impression.
Yeah. The only thing I want is one of those rogue tires on the freeway. That's what I want.
All right, so we'll get to that next, followed by our Stockwatch 358 on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.